word.
Well, I'm going to put this brother to work. I greet you in the name of Jesus, the changing power of Jesus Christ that's available to us in 2016. He lives in the core of our heart. We are washed in the blood, and the Holy Ghost lives within our hearts. I'm happy to be here this evening. I'm going to use our expertise over here, Brother Schrock. If he'd write this scripture on the blackboard here. 2 Timothy, it's written there. Can you read English?
Yeah, but
you're working at it. But you're writing, we're not sure. Okay.
Okay.
While he's... Yes, sir.
Okay, so...
Just right there. Okay. Please. While he's putting to work. How would you agree with that? Everybody agree that's okay to use your brother? Yeah, nobody should. Nobody put their hands up, so I think they're kind of wondering about you. Anyway, we're glad to be here this evening, and we have enjoyed... what God has done in my life and what He's doing in your life and what He wants to do in our life. And just a few days ago, we jetted our way east to on the verge of New York City and New Jersey. We picked up a nonstop flight from Newark, New Jersey, and we could see the skyline. We flew over the skyline of the New York City, where we have preached the gospel hundreds of times, up the World Trade Center. Now that sounds like you're blowing your own horn. No, it's not that at all. But when you have a burden for the lost, when you get a vision of the lost of humanity walking down the highway of sin in that sort of metropolis area where every 24 hours on Times Square there are 1 million people go through there on a human treadmill, as it were. Masses of people, the subways, the trains, the buses, the cars, the fire trucks, and everything that you can possibly think that has wheels and can walk and whatever type of thing, roller blades, and you see them going. I remember preaching in the park where 5,000 people came down Fifth Avenue. A gay group that came down there and I was preaching in the park. It was a horrible situation. Thank you, brother. Let's see if he can...
I think I can still write.
Good. Good job. You're on, put you on the payroll for when you get to heaven. But anyway, you know, when you see the masses and the multitudes of people hurting, looking for something that's genuine and real, they can tell you if you're a counterfeit, you see. Just on the plane, as we were flying, you have to be, we know we have to have our ears open. I believe so many times we miss opportunities to herald out the gospel of the good news. We hear people talking and somehow we don't absorb their needs. Or they're looking for some answers. The problem is sin and the solution is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On the plane as we were flying. Up in the front cabin there, we weren't in first class, we were in business class, and there was a couple sitting in front of us, a grandma and a grandpa and some children. And I noticed they were foreigners from another country. But I heard something. I caught something. When we catch this, and we gotta go ahead and try to share Jesus with them. The little boy's name, guess what his little boy's name was? Anybody want to take a guess? His name was Joshua. Well, I heard that. I said to my wife, she's across the aisle from me. I said, did you hear what she said? The little boy's name is Joshua. Yeah. So I asked the lady, I said, pardon me, but I do get involved in conversations. So my wife and I talked to her and I said, I noticed your little boy there, just a little chap. He's, you call him Joshua. I like that name. Could I ask you another question? She said, sure. Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? A big smile came across her face. She says, oh, yes. But she said, we were Buddhists before. Oh, I see. It's from South Korea. Yes, I've been there before. Well, We have a woman that comes to our church. Her name is Bohee. She's from South Korea. So we talked about the Christian life, the Christian walk. And it was a wonderful experience. And they asked me to pray with the family. They're facing issues. You know, our society is collapsing around us, is it not? How can you imagine, brothers? Shrock, Jason. Can you imagine in your lifetime that you would ever have a problem? We know that God created male and female, didn't He? Do you believe the biblical principle? God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He didn't put Adam and Steve in the garden. Now we're having problems with the bathrooms. Hello. I tell you, God's impending judgment is going to be poured out on this godless, erotic, sensual society unless we repent. Unless we get back to the Bible. As we talk to the things that they're facing in the school with their children. They're worried. Well, I thought about this scripture, you know, when we flew on that plane. The pilots in the cockpit were busy working and getting and communicating because there was a certain course. We have it up here. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I've kept the faith. There's a course. There's a route. And there's a route to get to heaven. I'm so sorry, but there's some people that are on a course that I can't underwrite. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Do you see the word there? Course. Where's it at? Here it is. Oh, there it is. You got it right there. Course. We have educational courses. And we have a lot of different things. But the pilots were busy working. They were busy and we didn't see much of them. They were making sure that we reached our safe destination. Flew out over the Atlantic and turned the plane sideways. Not clear sideways, but cut around. And we went on through the night and all the way to where it came straight to Portland, Oregon. It was cloudy and every now and then the seatbelt sign would flash on and people would become... They notify you ahead of time there's some turbulence ahead. And, you know, some people just didn't care. Finally, the flight, the captain had to come on. He said, would you folks please take your seat? I already announced it. You need to be seated. You need to fasten your seatbelt. Just bounced off them like a rubber ball hitting the side of a building. Finally, the flight attendant had to go around. She said, would you please take your seat? We got some trouble ahead. Well, finally they got everybody herded back to their seats. But of course, they followed their instruments in such a way that we arrived here in Portland. Turbulence, yes, we had some rain and a few other things. And, you know, we won't go into some of the flights that I've flown through the world that have been very, very scary. 747, one time the motor quit when I was preaching down in Australia. On the one plane, and pilot had to crank that big old boat playing around, and we flew to Honolulu. So there was a problem. He addressed it. And you know, sometimes there's problems with the aircraft. And what about the problems in our life? What about the problems in our marriages? What about the problem that we're facing today? Men abusing boys and girls. Robbing their sisters their virtue. I tell you, God's going to take us. There's a burning hell. No wonder the Apostle Paul addressed these many issues in the Scriptures, because he saw the corruption that some people claim to have, they empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they're still living in the fast lane, privately and secretly. I laid in the hospital with an open heart surgery when I was in the hospital, and on the newscast they had it on a flat screen or whatever you want to call it, and I was laying in there. Was a minister from Colorado that his church was 20 some thousand people, but he was involved with other men, and finally he got out and it destroyed the church, the worldly church. Something we couldn't underwrite. But it brings us, the devil capitalizes on that. Hiding behind the mask of even plainness and not living a pure and holy life. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what the Apostle Paul said. How about the course you're on this evening? What kind of a course? How are you planning on finishing your course? Over there in 2 Timothy, third chapter, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of pleasures of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fearers, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're living in a pleasure society. There's an addiction for what? For sports. All kinds of sports. All kinds of drugs and alcohol, crack cocaine and marijuana and everything in the catalog of sin is in today. God's going to judge this world. The writing is on the wall. And that's, there's a revival in the church. And we get on fire and get a vision. God's going to pour His wrath out. I can think this evening of Noah down there when the time came and all those things were happening in the book of Genesis. We don't have time. I see the clock is ticking away. Noah, that man of God. All society, the Bible tells us that the very figment of their imagination was continually evil. Every sin in the catalog, divorce, remarriage, and all the other things. But there was something about the man. Noah, the Bible said, walked with God. How was your walk tonight? Oh, I tell you, see Ephesians 2:2, it says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Well, then again, we need to take a look at what does Mr. Webster say the definition of course is. Number one, to run an outward movement from one point to the next. Number two, progress, a way and path. Number three, or channel or movement. Number four, the course to be followed, the direction taken. Number six, a way of behaving. Number seven, mode of conduct / wise course. Number eight, certainly, without doubt, moving in intended direction. I tell you, according to Scripture in Galatians 6:7 this evening, God is not mocked. There's a lot of mocking. They mocked and scoffed at Noah. Can you imagine him as he was working and God's found him to be righteous? I wonder this evening, how does God find you and I? Are we really righteous? Are we just living I know I believe in plain dress. I'm dressed plain. I have no problem with it. I believe that our dress has a lot to do with what's going on in our hearts. Some man told me, you're in bondage. You need to get rid of that suit coat. Bondage, I said. You're in bondage to the world. We as a group of people have come up with some ideas and concepts by the grace of God, and we've seen what works and what doesn't work. All the feds and styles and gadgets of this world will not satisfy. That's why there's so much money made in Hollywood and all this other stuff. It doesn't have any depth. There's nothing that can change the heart of man. All the things that science has developed. All kinds of soaps. When you go in the store, there's just aisles after aisles of Walmart soups. All kinds of soup, not soap, not soup. Get that square away here. We got that, didn't we? You catch it? Okay. But you go, you sisters go to the store and there's all kinds of stuff to scrub this down, scrub that down. There's rust in your water. You got water soaker, but just the shower seals looks like some kind of an accident happened in there. And they have to breathe all this stuff in, Clorox bleach. Man has been trying to develop things to counter this. But I tell you one thing they can never change is the heart of man. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son that died on the cross of Calvary. Are you washed in the blood tonight? Oh, hallelujah. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. But as Noah was working on that and God saw that he was righteous and he talked to him. He walked with God. And all of a sudden there came a plan. God has a plan for our life. What course to be taken? First of all, he was thinking of the relationship with him and his wife. And his children, how are they going to make it? God gave him a plan. What kind of a plan do you have tonight for your life? I can imagine him, Brother Jason, you don't mind me talking to you occasionally. Say hello. Imagine you people out here in the Northwest, you've got those big trees, don't you? How many of you guys cut trees? Any of you guys? There we go. Scott over here. You get some of them big trees. I can imagine him gilking the big trees over there. Out there, they didn't have the buzz saws we have today. The old cross cut. I know what that is. I remember in the jungles of Guatemala years ago. D.U. way in the back there, you see him. Down in Guatemala, I remember going out into the jungle to cut wood when I was years ago, way back in the 60s. We were going out in the jungle to make benches. Now, you sisters and brothers, we got a big bench up here for my brother, David. He's a big fellow. Anyway, it's okay. If we had to make wood benches, you know how we made them? We had one cross cut saw. A man on the one end and us on the other end. We didn't have any chalk. We squared the logs. We made chalk out of burnt sawdust and wood. Got a pile of that was black, and we pulled the line through that, and then we put it up on top of the log, and we chalked the lines on the top of the log. We flipped them over, and we did the bottom side. Now the work. Hot. All day long. Then we got them done, and we stacked them on our heads, and we had to walk out to the highway. Yeah. Not anymore. Now it's... But you know what? We saw those people down there in need. I remember one woman that we visited in the jungle over in Belize one time. She was, as we were walking through the jungle, and we were visiting and going around with back at Kuki Sarko. And there was a lady sitting there, and she had a big foot. Her foot was swelled up huge. She was sitting in this, you could hardly call it a house, corn shock, and that roof straw on the top. And there we were. She wanted somebody to help her. Her foot was so bad it looked like it was going to have to be cut off. What do we do? Did you ever read about the Good Samaritan? We need to put it into shoe leather. There we are. I had to get in my briefcase and I had to get some alcohol and all kinds of stuff out. And I could see another sisters were there. A couple of brethren held her leg on a log. And we finally squirted some stuff in there. And we squirted that stuff in. And then we tuck a plunger in there, a swab stick. And guess what happened? A big ugly worm stuck its head out. Ooh. So we got a pair of tweezers that I had taken in my medical bag into the jungle. And I put pair of tweezers on when they squirted. He finally couldn't stand it anymore. He stuck his head up. Finally got it. Out he came. Then we irrigated that, you see. You see, we had to help the people. Help the people. One lady wanted, but she felt so bad. She says, I wish somebody would make me some dresses in another community. Hello. You still there? Yeah. Tears were running down her face, and she said, oh, I wish I had some dresses. Guy told me, he says, don't make any promises to these people. He growled like a dog. And I said, whoa. I wonder how many dresses our plain sisters have. Hello, I'm not asking for anybody. Raise your hand. I promised that woman through an interpreter that we would see to it she gets some dresses from the States. One sister, admitted that she had to over 200 dresses. Now, that's a lot of dresses. But the Lord spoke to her. Send them to the mission field. Every time there's some kind of a new fabric or some kind of design, we crank them things out. And the poor lady on the foreign field, he said, well, you're ruining the mission work and you have to get dresses for everybody in this whole country. Oh, hello. Can you see the need? The Good Samaritan saw the need. The other guys went on by, but he stopped. Yes. Well, we're going to have to put this thing in high gear. It's time to close. Well, mock and scoff. Noah finally got that thing built. And you know, I believe. Finally, the Bible says that he was what? God shut him in. All of a sudden, I believe, the fountains of the deep broke open and God's impending judgment was poured out on a godless society. One man in an airplane told me some time ago, he said, no, I don't believe the whole Bible. Hello, why not? He said, that idea of that guy in that big boat and that other story that's so big, the whale story, he said, come on. He said, I tell my children, he said, I'm a Christian, but I tell them, he said, you know that's a bunch of Bugs Bunny stuff. I said, well, Jesus reflected on it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, there over in Matthew, that 24, that day, it's going to be that way when he comes back. Oh, confirming the authenticity of the inspired, inerrant word, the doctrine of biblical truth. Yeah. That's right. You know, the door was shut, and God shut him in. Walking with God, the course he thought about, the course he was on, he went with God. What about Moses? What about Moses? It's going to have to be a fast one here, a short drive-through one. Moses' mother was, does anybody know her name? Jochebed. Amram, her husband. They were in terrible days of slavery. But you know, Pharaoh didn't like them. He wanted to kill all the little boys off. Would you believe? God had a plan for her life. She had in the core of her heart so determined to follow the God that created the universe. I can imagine, what is that going on over at that tent? What's going on in there? Do you smell something? You haul blacktop, don't you? Something smelled like there's a fire and it didn't smell like chocolate cookies. Something's burning over there. I imagine maybe some of the neighbors stopped by. You know, there's always somebody trying to look over the fence. Hey, we smelled something today. You smell that smell? Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff going on. You have a nice day. We'll see you later. Goodbye. But you know, God had a plan. I tell you this evening, God has a plan for your life. If you let Him. Yeah, you know what happened? All of a sudden, she was making tar and dumping it over a basket. Oh my, what in the world's going on? Shh, smelling that stuff. And finally, the little fella got so big, took him out and put him in the bulrush. If we mind God, He'll make a way. Fabio's daughter comes down and she's down there by the river. All of a sudden, what's that over there? Opens it up and the little fella's crying. It was a family affair because Miriam was standing. You sisters, you've got to be watching. Watchmen on the wall. Well, I talked to a man just some time ago, a number of years ago, I was at a tire shop and I had to get some tires.
And there was a man standing there, an older man. He was staring right at me and kept looking at me and kept looking at me. And finally, I said, I didn't do like one of these. Some of us cold, frozen Mennonites and stand there look like a polar bear or a pickle baptized with lemon juice. Yeah. I said, how are you, sir? He said, I'm okay. He said, you're the one I'm worried about. I said, oh, really? Okay, tell me about it. He said, I used to be like you. Hello. I said, you did? He told me how he was raised in a plain home. In those days, we had the 1W service. Remember that? Went off to different places. I got to close. Put the brakes on, Brother Paul. You know what happened? He told me, I used to be like you. Okay. So he said, I think I need to explain what you're talking about. He said, well, he said, I was raised in a plain home. I did this. He said, but you know what? I didn't really want anything to do with their ideas. So I went off to 1W. He served in a hospital for 3 years, and from there, he said, I became the prodigal. You became the prodigal. He said, I'm still a prodigal. I live in California. Okay. He said, I know more about the Bible than you do. Hello. I said, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I know the Word of God. He says, I've read 2,000 to 3,000 books. Oh, I said, that doesn't impress me a bit. I said, tell me how much you've read of your Bible. Well, he started stuttering around. He says, you don't need to read the Bible. I said, tell me you've read over 2,000, 3,000 books, some several times, trying to impress me with a bunch of books, Buddhism and all the other stuff. He named a whole bunch of religions. He studied them all. I said, well, you missed it. I said, you know, you said you're a prodigal. I'm sorry to hear that. But I said, one thing about the prodigal, he ended up in the pig pen. He said, you say I'm in a pig pen? I said, I didn't say you're in a pig pen, but that became a think tank for the prayer of prodigal. He started thinking. All the things that he had learned, he tossed overboard. Oh, we went over that. You know what? Last I saw of him, he drove off in that truck. He was going to California. He said, all of his children are divorced. And this and that happened. His wife dumped him, and he's in terrible shape. He's in a lawsuit, going back to California. I said, you know what? This is your opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. This afternoon here in his garage, you have been pointed to Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. He died on the cross. When he was nailed to the cross, they mocked and sneered at him and scoffed at him. He saved others. He can't save himself. Come down from the cross. We'll believe you. You think they would? Jesus saw Tangent, Oregon. Jesus saw Halsey, Oregon. Jesus saw Chicago, Pittsburgh, New York. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the New Yorkers. For God so loved Chicagoans. For God so loved the Blacks. For God so loved the Chinese. For God so loved the French. And you name it, pole to pole, east, west, north, and south. He died on the cross to save a lost world. And somehow we're plugged in and we don't do seemingly anything for Jesus. Yes. He said, you know, I know the way. I said, well, today is your day. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, what? I will give you rest. Our Father and our God, you have been here this evening in the power of your word. You're at the right hand of the Father. You're interceding on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this Paul that said, I have finished my course. Oh God, you worked in his life. You want to work in our lives. Search our hearts yet here tonight as we close this service. Thank you for coming and thank you for dying on the cross. We're going to sing a verse of song, Just As I Am, in closing. If you've been touched by this message and you have a need in your heart, could you slip your hand up and put it down? Just as I am without one plea, but thou
And that.